Jesus has started his journey from Galilee down to Jerusalem. One of his disciples and friends, a family, live along the way. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus live in a village on his path, but he hasn't got there yet. Let's see what happens. We shall find our second reading from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 25. Hope and despair. The two readings we've had is of two adjacent poles. Despair and then hope. So I decide to base my theme on hope and despair. Let us first think of the story of the raising of Lazarus. John calls it a sign. And in John's gospel, there are no miracles. He calls them signs. And signs are there for a purpose. They have a meaning. And the one that is depicted in John 11 is a powerful one. Raising a dead person to life. Now, we've been told that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are friends and disciples of Jesus. Yet, isn't it more striking that when Lazarus was ill, and Martha and Mary sent for Jesus, he said, "Wait, wait, and wait." Then Lazarus dies. Still no Jesus. After 2 to 3 days, he said, "Now let's go." I wonder how many of us here would even want to see him after all that long when we are grieving. If he cared that much, if you care about somebody, if your daughter is ill, your son is ill, and they ring you, "Hey, John is ill," I bet you'll drop everything and run to his side. So what will we be thinking when Jesus never showed up as early as possible? But he has a reason. He told his disciples that this is what God wants, so that he can be glorified. He wants to show that God is capable of raising the dead. And he doesn't want that. I mean, we have heard people be in a coma and then they get up. He wants the day of the dead, I mean, the time between the dead and the burial to be so long enough that there's no question about it, that yes, This is a miracle. This is a sign. If he had been there, immediately he died. And he raised him up. I'm quite sure our friends, Jews, our Jewish friends will say, oh, yes, I mean, this is a con. They just let him sleep for him to come and raise him up for us to believe. But this time, there's no question about it. He's mortified. He has been buried. And I believe there was even a stench in the tomb when the stone was rolled away. But he said he praised God and prayed to him. And he said, Lazarus, come out. So often, we want instant answers, don't we? Why is he not here? Why is God not answering my question? Why is he not answering my prayers? Is there a God? Where was he when I was being attacked? We want instant answers. But Jesus waits. So when there's a time lull between your prayers and the answer, don't be despair. This story actually underlines his authority. And because maybe the delay will allow God's glory to be truly seen. Both Martha and Mary greet Jesus with the words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. With Martha, the narrative goes on to tell us that she has hope and believes that Lazarus will be resurrected. The exchange with Mary is, however, not clear. And we are left to fill in the gaps. Were Mary's words spoken with rage or disgust? Did Mary speak those words out of deep disappointment or a loss of faith in someone she really believed in and has followed? And were Mary's tears an expression of the disappointment of the Jesus that he has not arrived in time to heal his brother, her brother? On the other hand, let's turn to Ezekiel. He was one of the three great prophets of Hebrew scripture. He was active in the 6th century when the Babylonians popped up and picked up the cream of the Israelis and sent them over to slavery. this is actually a vision nightmares are made of. You can add your own. But if you think of it, it's also a vision or a nightmare of salvation. Now, the Israelites are devoid of hope. They don't think that God loves them anymore or care for them, for that matter. As far as they were concerned, they were as good as dead. Yet, God's concern is not just to reanimate individuals, but to reanimate a nation, a whole lot of people, for a purpose. Ezekiel is brought to see stage by stage what is possible to God. Should we see the bones coming together to reform people as a metaphor for communities reforming around a charismatic individual? Can Christians live with promise in Christ? Those who live in Christ ever experience the depth of despair encountered by the Jews? Here, in our modern times, different branches of Christian churches take different attitudes to the bleakness of Good Friday. Some seek to relieve in penitence. Others emphasize the thankfulness, the persisting light of knowing what comes after Good Friday, Easter. What can we, in an ecumenical age, learn from each other in order to grow our capacities, both to empathize with despair, rejection, and overwhelming sense of humanities, our sinfulness, and to value the transforming power of the inextinguishable hope of Easter. Easter gives us hope. All is not lost. All is not lost. How good are Christians at empathizing with the despairing? Or Westerners at empathizing with the truly destitute and dispossessed of this world? Maybe it could be possible to appreciate the importance of lacking any prospect of immediate improvement. Or we can imagine what life must be in the refugee camp, or amid the devastation after a major disaster in a poor country. Can we envisage it? If we close our eyes, few years ago, there was a tsunami in Southeast Asia. Not long ago, there was an earthquake in Haiti. Can we imagine where there was despair all around? But let's think. After the tsunami, what happened? The whole world gathered together. New houses were built, firm ones, so that the overpopulation who lived in the slums then and haven't got places, they all have got houses now. From the despair rose hope. From the despair of Good Friday came the hope of Easter. How good are we at refraining from judgment when people seem negative and inclined to give unnecessary, long, and deep, to grieve unnecessarily, long, and deeply? Does grief and even despair have a positive function? Would more raving about the state of the world and its violence and lack of justice a good thing? The temptation for us sometimes is to look for new life somewhere in the future. Better relationships, justice, happiness, hope. We can see that with many migrants coming over. As Jesus stresses, the kingdom is among us. We are living in the kingdom. It's for us to make hay of it. Dry bones in the valley, corpse of Lazarus in the tomb symbolize the end of life and hope. Yet, as Easter draws closer, we have a glimpse of life. New life we shall know on Easter Day. Amen.